Well, I'm the Jesus singer, and my name is Tom. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel there's a righteousness revealed by God, a righteousness which is by faith from the first to the last. And thus it is written that the righteous, that's any born-again believer, will live by faith. And the Lord showed me about that. We'll live by faith. That goes two ways. You will live a better conquering life on earth by faith. And, of course, we'll live forever in heaven by faith. And so I want to share that with you. And Holy Spirit gave me a bunch of stuff here to do today that I wasn't ready for. So we're going to give it a shot and see how good he does. That's not the right thing. We're starting off wrong, right? Or even, that's not good. How about this? Oh, that's better. Now, usually my band inside here plays too fast, because they like to get done quick. They think they're going to go home early, you know. But today he's dragging their feet here a little bit. Computer is just like the one at home. It doesn't always do what I want it to do, but it does what I tell it to do. And I can't. This is a good way to start, isn't it? Talk about faith in God and then can't sing the first song. Start in the middle. I know what to do. I can fix it. And if you know the song, sing it with me whenever I get around to playing it. And we'll be good. Okay. Thank you. next thing we're going to do is God is for us. And that's out of Paul's gospel in Romans 8, actually. And the first line is, if God is for us, who can be against? And the thing there that who can be against is really a very powerful statement in the Bible, but in our language it's not quite so strong. And so I'll paraphrase it here for just a second before we get into this. And it's like, if God is for us, what difference does it make who's against us? If God is for us, who's stupid enough to go against God? And it's that kind of a statement that they're saying here. And so if God is for us, and he certainly is, what difference does it make who's against us?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you get into this music, you think, oh, that's really cool, until you actually try to do it. And then you run into, oh, my God, I need help with you, Lord. This next song struck me that way. The name of it is I Surrender All. And so if you know it, sing it with me. Songs that seems like everybody's heard it 50 times, but you can't wear it out because of the message. The name of the song is Have Faith in God. You ever hear that before?
Yeah.
see how we're going to do this. Y'all know that song about Our God Reigns? Not that bad. See, this is where the band trying to get out early, man. I gotta watch them guys. Still trying to do that stuff. That's better. How lovely started off wrong.
Oh, that's okay. Everything's good. The Lord works it all out for us. This morning, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. We're going to continue in the Gospel of John. And as Brother Tom was singing this morning about our faith being in God, and you know, we often say we have faith in God, but we have to demonstrate that faith. And this morning I want you to think about this. This is what John is writing when he writes his gospel. He tells us the reason that he's written his gospel is because Jesus performed many signs, many miracles while he was on this earth. And John says, look, I don't have room to tell you everything Jesus did while he was here. But what I am telling you, the miracles I'm describing to you, he says, I and the other disciples saw these miracles, and I'm writing these so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ. And by believing in him, you can have life and have it everlasting. And that's the purpose of this gospel. And as John is writing this, he wants you to understand that believing is seeing. We need to believe what Jesus says. We need to go see how Jesus is going to work out the details. So when we talk about faith and talk about praying in faith, that's what I want you to think about this morning, is that believing is seeing. Let us pray. God, Father, as we come to this story of how you met the nobleman in his desperation, how you knew his faith, Lord, how you tested his faith, and how you grew his faith. Lord, how you let this man understand that in desperate times, we need a deliberate faith. We need to take you at your word and then go see how you're going to work out the details. Lord, we just thank you for this, and this morning for the next few minutes, we pray that you would just guide and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to verse 46 and we finish up this chapter, it says, therefore, he, being Jesus, came into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, when it says that he came again into Canaan, if you remember the story, remember this, when these Gospels were written, you know, there's 21 chapters here, and we're not supposed to just read a paragraph and go on. The way John wrote this, you need to be reading the whole gospel together to understand what he's saying from beginning to end. I mean, how many of y'all turn on a TV show and watch the very beginning, the commercial comes on, you turn it off and go to bed? Don't you usually wait to see the end of the show? And this is what here. So when John says he came again into Canaan, where he had turned water to wine, he's given us a whole circle of events that Jesus did, beginning in Galilee, going down to Jerusalem, to the temple. He cleanses the temple. He does a lot of miracles down in Jerusalem. And then as he heads out of Judea to the countryside, he crosses over into Samaria. And remember, he meets the woman at the well. And there he crosses back over, and he's going into Galilee, and he comes back into Canaan. And it says there that there's this nobleman or a royal official, or it could be a kingly person. And we believe that this man is probably a official in Herod Antipas's court, there in his kingdom court. Now, you know, Herod was not really a king. He was only king by name, by marriage. He married somebody that had just kind of claimed royalty, and they wasn't really royalty either. And he got this title that the Roman emperor allowed him to rule there in this district of Galilee. And this is one of his officials. So this man has some clout. He has some money. He has the ability to go. And it says here that, as we've seen before, Jesus is on the way, and he's on a divine appointment. And this official son is sick, and it says, when verse 47, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, and this just means that Jesus is coming away from Jerusalem. He's heading out of Jerusalem. He's been into Samaria, and now he's going back into Galilee. There's a lot of debate here on what this means. Is he dividing the Galileans from the Judeans and all that? And it's not. He's just showing here, John wants us to see that the difference in belief between Jerusalem, Samaria, and now up into Galilee. Now, what we need to know, that Jesus is talking about faith here. This is the lesson that Jesus is talking about. And it says that this official, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son. Now it says the reason he is so desperate, it says, for his son was at the point of death. So his son, we know, is taking a fever. He's become unconscious. He's at the point of death. There's nothing else he can do. It don't matter who this man knows. It don't matter how much money he's got. It don't matter what's going on. Everything that he has tried has not worked. Now he hears about this miracle worker who's already been in Canaan. The story is spread around the town. You know, something happened here in Sanford, it don't take long, especially with Facebook now. Everybody knows what happens. Amen? So Jesus has made a circle. He's come back. This man knows that Jesus has turned water into wine. He knows he's a miracle worker. He knows that he needs something for his son. So he goes to Jesus, and it says that he was imploring him. In other words, this man did have enough faith to ask for help. And he kept asking for help. It's in a present tense here. In other words, he was asking and he kept on asking. So Jesus is probably going where he needs to go. And this man is following him saying, look, I need you to come to my house. My son is sick to the point of death. And I know that you can heal him. I believe you can heal him. You need to come with me, is what he's asking. Now, I want you to think about your faith. How many of y'all got faith? How many of you got a lot of faith? How many of you got the same amount of faith? You better drop that. See, the Bible teaches we all don't have the same amount of faith. And you say, well, what do you mean, preacher? You got more faith than me? No, not in some things. In some things, you might have more faith than I do. Each of us has our own measure of faith. Now, the only one that was full of faith and had all faith bestowed on him is Jesus Christ. Amen? He had full faith in the Father the whole time he was on this earth, in the Father's plan. But as for us, we are all given a certain amount of faith, but that doesn't mean our faith doesn't grow. But we, with the gift of faith, we have responsibility. We need to use the faith that we have. Does that make sense? So Jesus knows how much faith you've got this morning. Jesus knows how much faith I got. Jesus knows how much faith this royal official has. So when he's coming out of Canaan, it says in chapter 2, at the close of chapter 2, that Jesus needed no one to testify about man because he knew what was in man, and he was trusting himself to no man because he knew what was in man. So Jesus already knows how much faith this man's got. So when this man comes to him, he employs Jesus, and Jesus says something here that catches us off guard. Matter of fact, we almost feel like Jesus is chastising or rebuking this man. Jesus said to him, unless or except you people. Now, what he's talking about here is the Jews. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. Now, John uses the word for signs, which is a miracle throughout his gospel. But this is the only place he uses wonders. And wonders is something that you know comes from heaven. Matthew 24:24 uses it where Jesus says, look, there's many false prophets going to come. Many false prophets are going to come, claim to be me, and they're going to be performing signs and wonders. So just because you see some kind of sign or some kind of wonder doesn't always mean that it's from God. And here Jesus says, look, here's what's going on. As he closes out there with the Samaritans, it says that many of them come out to see Jesus because they believe the word of the woman at the well. They believe what she told them. But then as you get a little farther down the story, they ask Jesus to stay. Jesus stayed with them 2 days, and the scripture tells us that many more believed because of the word that Jesus spoke to them. They was believing the word. Now, it says that those in Jerusalem was believing in Jesus because they saw the signs that he did while he was in town. So what Jesus is saying here is, I know how much faith you got. You say you believe in me, but you believe in me because what you've seen happen. And so then Jesus tells him here, he says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. Jesus says, look, I know how much faith you got. And the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Now, the reason he says this is in the first century, there was plenty of miracle workers. But what they believed was you got to go get the miracle worker and take him to your problem. Now, we do that now all the time, don't we? something goes wrong in our life, we come up with a way to fix it. All I need, I've made a bad mistake, I've run out of money, I can't pay my bills, I just need a raise. I just need more money. If I got more money, I can fix my problem, right? Or I've hurt myself, something's going on, and I need a different kind of medicine. Why? I just saw a new commercial. Right? I need to go get something. Here's the difference between God and other miracle workers. Our earthly miracle worker, you got to go get it and take it to your problem. With God, you can take your problem to Him. See, Jesus already knows your prayer request before we made them today. And Jesus has already worked out the details. What we got to do is believe and go see. Because Jesus not only knows our faith, He tests our faith. You say, well, I thought we all had faith. Yes, but Jesus wants our faith to be strengthened. He wants our faith to grow, and He does that by testing. How do you test? You exercise. He puts us into action. He tells the man here, He says, look, I know your faith, and I know what you believe in, but Jesus said to him, go. Now, some translations say, they try to be real polite here, they say, you may go. But the word here is a command. Jesus says, I heard your prayer, now go, your son lives. Hey, I've already answered your prayer request. And now what about us? We'd want to say, well, Jesus, come on, you can go with me. And so when we get there, in case I need something else. But Jesus says, no, go. Go, I'm testing your faith. Look, do you believe me? If you do, take me at my word and go see how I'm going to work out the details. Now, that's hard to do, isn't it? How many of you pray, and when you're praying, you're not only asking God for help, but you're telling Him how to help you? See, sometimes, you know, we get up from our prayers, and we feel like, well, I don't think God has heard me. But Scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 15 that God is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. And James, in chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, explains same thing, that if we lack wisdom, ask God who gives it without reproach and graciously to everybody. So sometimes when we are praying, we need to say, Lord, I don't really know how this is going to work out, but here's my faith that you've got this. You're in control of this. Lord, I'm surrendering all, as Brother Tom sung. I'm handing this over to you, Lord. Now help me understand how you're fulfilling this prayer, how you answering my prayer, and what my part in the prayer is. And see what it says about this man. Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. It says the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. He started going. And so we need to remember not only that Jesus knows the extent of our faith, but Jesus also will test our faith. And He tests this man's faith by asking him to go, I've already answered your prayer. Now, John explains to us later when he's writing to the churches in 1 John chapter 5, he says, this is the confidence which we have before Him. He's talking about Christ. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So when we pray, Jesus hears us. Isn't that good news? Saved people can pray, and God hears your prayers. And He says, if we know He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have our request, which we've asked from Him. So we know that Jesus not only heard my prayer, Jesus answers my prayer. The problem is, sometimes I want Jesus to answer the prayer my way. And so when I'm looking, and I think, well, Jesus must not heard my prayer. I might be missing how Jesus is working out the details. Y'all tracking with me? And because Jesus says in John 14, in John 15, I'm sorry, he says in John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, that means we're in Christ, we're with Christ, we've got a relationship with Christ, we're staying in close contact with Christ, and my words abide in you. That means we read God's word, we hear God's word, we obey God's word. Say obey. Hearing God's word and God's word abiding in us means not just I believe God said this, but I believe it's good for me. and I'm going to do it. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, you can ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Later in that chapter, in verse 16, he says that if you go and bear fruit, your fruit would remain, so that whatever you asked of the Father in my name, he will give you. Jesus says, look, if my word is dwelling in you, you're living according to my word, you asked, I am going to fulfill that request. And John says, look, you can have this confidence. When God heard it, he's already worked out the details. But sometimes we got to go see how he's working those details out. Sometimes there might be a delay. Sometimes it might be a while before we see how God works out those details. Sometimes he might not work them out like we've said. I've told you this before. The greatest faith I've ever seen is in Rusty Thomas when his granddaughter's laying in the hospital not expected to live, and her cancer's come back so aggressively that she actually lost her voice while they was doing the checkup on her. And when me and Mona and I got to the emergency room in the waiting room, I asked Rusty, I said, Rusty, how can I pray for you? And Rusty said, I've already asked God to heal Evie, and he's healed her. He said, just pray that if he chooses to heal her in heaven, that I'll have strength with his decision. See, that's why when I pray for people, I always pray that God's will be done. I've always been reminded of Hezekiah praying that God would lengthen his life. The last 15 years of his life that God lengthened, a lot of bad things happened because of his children. We have to trust that God knows what's best for us. See, by faith, Joseph always was obedient to God. And at the end of Genesis chapter 50, his brothers was afraid that Joseph was going to retaliate against them, and Joseph told him, no, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. When we read that text in Romans that says God works all things together for those who love him according to his purposes, you know, we often say that and we just walk past it, but think about Joseph. He lived that out. He said, y'all done a lot of terrible things to me, and I've had a bad life. But as I look back over my life, every time I asked for God for something, God already had the details worked out, and he was putting me in position so that my whole family could live. And the 70 people that come down to Egypt become the nation Israel, God's chosen people. When we pray in God's will, we're willing to go see how God's going to work out the details. So Jesus not only knows our faith, he'll test our faith. When he tests our faith, he's exercising it. He'll always be asking us to do more than we done last time. How many of you pray and figure God's going to fix it this time like last time? It don't always work that way. I told everybody the other night, when we ask God to heal something, sometimes it will. He will immediately. Sometimes he won't. Sometimes he gives us the wisdom to know. I got a bad habit. I wash dishes. Any of y'all other men got that bad habit? I wash dishes, and when I get done washing the pan, I like to wash dishes as I cook. You know what I mean? When I get done eating, I want to be done. Everything's clean. Well, I got a bad habit. I'll turn the eye back on and set a pot and let it dry. Well, I cook dinner, and we got done, and I went in there, and I was working at my desk, and I come back in there to get me a cup of coffee, and I said, that pan sure looks funny. I don't remember having a white pan that color. And I went over there to pick it up to see where that white pan come from, and guess what? It sounded like sausage frying because the pan was so hot, it stuck to my hand. And I dropped it, and it burned a hole in the floor, burned a big spot we still got in the floor, and I looked down at my hand. You could see right where the handle was, right there. And he said, Kefalon. And I said, first thing I did, I said, Lord, please take the heat out of this hand. I got so much to do. Lord, please, please do something with his hand. I had burnt this hand so bad. And I knew God was going to take care of my hand, but I thought, and this is the Holy Spirit, this ain't Wesley. I said, Lord, what do I need to do? Tell me what to do. And I turned on cold water and run cold water over my hand, and I got an ice cube out of the ice box and went, got in the truck and drove straight up to the Walgreens and went in there with water dripping and got something that takes heat out of your hand for a burn and rubbed it on my hand. Now, guess what? God took all the pain out of my hand. Now, I still had that big spot across there for about 2 weeks. But my hand didn't hurt like I thought it was, and not like the password bust open in your palm and you can't do nothing with it. God took care of it. But he also gave me the wisdom to go see how he's going to work out the details. Now, what if I said, Lord, heal my hand, I just stood there and looked at it for a long time? See, sometimes when we ask God to help us, doctors might be going to help us, other people might be going to help us. It might not be that we need more money. We might need to shop for something that's cheaper that month. Do you see how God works out the details? So when God asked us to exercise our faith, it's because he wants to grow our faith. When you exercise, if you want to build up your arms, what do? You exercise more, right? You exercise more. If you want to get stronger, get your wind built up more, you walk more. If you want your faith to be stronger, you need to exercise it more. You need to put your faith in things that God hasn't done for you but in the past and expect him to show you a new way to do it. And this is what happens to this man, and look at the result. Jesus knew where his faith was. Jesus tested his faith by asking him, look, just take me at my word and go do what I say. So the man goes off, and look at the result. The result is that Jesus grows our faith. It says, as he was going down, now you go down to Capernaum because it's on the edge of the Sea of Galilee in the northwest corner of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level, and so Canaan's up high, so no matter what you do or where you're at, if you're going to Capernaum, you're going down. So he's going down to Capernaum, and his slaves met him, saying to him, your son's alive. Your son's living. And look what the man said. Verse 52, he inquired, what hour when he began to get better? So when did my son's health start improving? And they said to him, yesterday about the seventh hour, the fever left him. So about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him. And so the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives, and he himself believes, and his whole household. So his faith grew. He says, I took Jesus at his word. I went to see how he's going to work out his details. And when he sees his slaves, and they say, guess what? Your son's alive. The fever's left him. He says, when? What time? He said, about 1 o'clock. He says, well, that's right when Jesus told me he was okay. Now, he left at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but evidently he took Jesus at his word, because this is the next day. It's only about 20 miles to 25, depending on exactly where he was going. He probably, because he's a royal official, he probably had a horse. He could probably made it there that day. But he's finishing up the trip the next day. He's trusting in Jesus. And he says, you know, I took Jesus at his word. Then I went to see. And now I know that I can believe in him. And here's how his faith grew. It grew and extended to his family. See, we don't think about that much in the age we live in. But in the first century, when the head of the household believed in God, he taught the rest of his household why he believed in God and who the God was of his belief. See, this man just learned something about Jesus. He's not the miracle worker that I expected to see. Think about today. We believe today, but we see and believe, don't we? We got to have some science. I need some logic. Oh, I need an experience. How did I experience this last time? If God don't do it that way, I don't believe he's listening to me. You know, we believe now that we got to follow the science. We've got to have all the evidence laid out before we can believe it's true. But according to the Bible, true faith takes God at his word and then obeys and does what he says, expecting to prove him right. So when the rest of the world asks you, how come you're doing what the Bible says? You say, because in the end, God's going to be proved right. And when this man explains to his household, we don't know how young his son was, but it says his household, it's talking about his his family, his immediate family, his slaves, which means servants, everybody that works for him. He, what? Told everybody, look, my faith is in the one who does what he says. He keeps his promises. When was the last time you prayed, God answered your prayer, and then you went around telling everybody how God answered your prayer? We don't do that much anymore because we almost feel foolish in telling people we believed and then went to see instead of waiting to see and then believing. Does that make sense? So when you pray and ask God in faith to do something and God answers that prayer, you need to share that with others. John closes by saying, this again is the second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. So this is not the second sign of Jesus' ministry. This is the second sign that he fulfilled in Canaan. And the point of the story is that we need to believe and go see how Jesus is going to work out the details. You remember Thomas? Jesus appeared to the other disciples. They saw Jesus and believed, but Thomas wasn't there. And when Thomas come in, Thomas says, I will not believe unless I see the nail prints in his hand and the wound in his side. 8 days later, Jesus shows up and said, come here, Thomas. Put your hands here in my hand. Put it in my side. Thomas says, my Lord, my God. What did Jesus say? Thomas, you believed because you saw. Blessed are those who have not seen but believe these words of mine. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? Take Jesus at his word. Then go see him work out the details. See, this man here, he had just enough faith to ask. As he come into Jesus' presence, his faith was starting to be strengthened because he kept asking. He took Jesus at his word, and then he went to see how Jesus was going to work out the details. And as a result, his faith grew. He had more faith in Jesus at the end of this experience than at the beginning. You often say, well, why does God let bad things happen to good people? Hey, bad things happen because of sin. God allows them so he can grow our faith. Why? Romans chapter 8, so we can be conformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was full of faith. He had a full measure of faith. One day we'll be in heaven with a full measure of faith. Until we get there, Jesus knows how much faith we got. When we get into a situation that requires more faith, Jesus will test us by asking us to go do something that we don't expect to have to do. When we do what Jesus says, he's going to fulfill his promises. Then our faith will grow, and we'll say, Jesus can do way more than I ever thought he could. Amen? Let us pray. This morning, I just asked you, first of all, if you're saved, because this is important when it comes to faith. We can all have faith because faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. But also Scripture teaches that God is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. The prayer that God hears if you're not saved, the prayer he would hear this morning if you said, Lord God, I know I'm a sinner unclean. I know I've not lived your way. I believe Jesus come, lived, and died for me, was buried and resurrected. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me and take control of my life. If you've prayed that, you're saved. Once you're saved, you can ask Jesus whatever you need according to his will and know that he will answer that prayer. So this morning, I just want to ask you, how strong is your faith? Jesus knows the extent of your faith. Jesus is going to test your faith this week. There's going to be things that come up in your life, and Jesus is going to ask you to do according to his word, to live by biblical standards, not the standards of the world, to react. If you get mad, you react the way the Bible tells you. If you feel like you need to gossip, ask yourself, is this going to be good for me or good for the other person? Ask yourself, is what I've heard true? Ask yourself, is this useful for building either one of us up? If it's not, flee from it. Have faith that God will let you see your life And whatever you asked in whatever situation, that you'll do it so it brings glory to God and good to you and others around you. That's what prayer is for, to bring us closer to God. Kind Father, we just thank you this morning, and we just ask now as we depart from here that, Lord, you would bless us, that, Lord, we know that you know our faith. Lord, help us see the extent of our faith the way you do. Let us know and see where the weaknesses in our faith is. It might be that there's certain things in our life that we depend on more than you. And if it is, Lord, let us see where we need to put more faith in you and less faith in the things of this world. Also, Lord, when we trust in you and pray, and Lord, I know you use things of this world to accomplish your purposes. Help us know the things that you want us to do, the things that you provide that you want us to use. Lord, we might pray for someone and you might use us as the encourager to go to that person and just sit with them and listen to them and encourage them. Lord, whatever part we have in answered prayer, help us to fulfill that this week. Lord, I just pray that you will guide and direct everyone here. And as we gather here next Sunday, that we will realize that you not only know our faith, you test our faith, and our faith is a continual growing act. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close this morning, I want to mention to you, I know that we still have COVID concerns, but tomorrow night will be the spring gathering of the Sandy Branch Baptist Association, and it will be at 7 o'clock at Tyson's Creek. At Tyson's Creek, if you go out 42 to I guess that's still 42, you turn right like you're going to Harper's Crossroads, and the church is up there on the right. I guess that I can get you directions to Tyson's Creek Church, but we can have as many people wants to go can go to that meeting. They will be social distancing, and they'll also be wearing masks. What the meeting is just going over things that they plan to do this year. So if you want to go as a messenger, I know some of you have in the past. I've got the tickets up here. Main reason you got the tickets is so it don't take so long to get in. You just fill out your name on it and check messenger, and you go in, and we'll just be voting on a few things. It's more voting in the fall. But if you want to go, just let me know, and you're welcome to go. Some of y'all are from Cowboy Church. The Cowboy Church can go also, so anybody wants to go to that, it is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Tyson's Creek. Just see me after church down here about those tickets. Anything before we close? Let us pray. Kind Father, we just pray that everyone has a great week, a blessed week. Lord, just a faith-strengthening week. And guide and direct us all now. Lord, just help us to build one another up for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All God's people said, amen. Amen.